Z107.7 welcomes you to Up Close, a weekly public affairs program presented by Z107.7 News. You're invited to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in number is 366-8471. Now, your host for Up Close, Gary Danielle.
Well, thank you, mystery announcer, wherever you are, and welcome to the Z107.7 Up Close Show on a wet but lovely December 22nd of 2023. I'm your host, Gary Danielle. Our producer is Michelle Alley. Our number for you to call and participate is 760-366-8471. And our guests in studio today representing the Miltree Organization, and we'll find out more about them, is Executive Director Cheryl Montell and President Patrick Wallace. So Cheryl and Patrick, welcome to the Z107.7 Up Close Show. Cheryl, lovely to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
And you're practically a pro here. You've been here a few times talking to the morning show gang. But
that's right.
But now you're stuck with me. And Patrick, welcome to the Z107.7 Up Close Show.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
And you're the veteran of many radio interviews, correct?
No.
Is this your first?
Very first.
Okay. It's fun. We're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
We're just sitting over the dinner having a conversation. All right. So anyway, welcome, Patrick Wallace. We appreciate it. Cheryl, I'm going to start with you a little bit. And what is Miltree?
Well, Miltree is a nonprofit organization that brings veterans, active service members, and community members together in shared experiences, projects, and creative endeavors to help end isolation. I used to say to end veteran isolation, but honestly, there's isolation everywhere in every pocket of our community.
And when was Miltree formed and why?
Well, I read a book called, this was in like 2012, by Dr. Ed Tick, called War in the Soul, How to Help Heal Our Service Members of PTSD. And I was very taken that in our culture at large, we don't really take the time to welcome them back, welcome our warriors back in a more profound way than thank you for your service. I'm not saying there aren't programs out there that do that, but as community members, I was shocked to find out what veterans go through coming back, some veterans. And one of our first programs was called The Art of War, and we had community members that do visual art matched with veterans that do writing, and we did this at the time at the Red Arrow Gallery. It's a long time ago, and when the veterans did the spoken word element, you couldn't hear a pin drop in that small space, and it was so profound. And I think what I learned is it's really important, how important bearing witness to what the military experience is, because they're fighting wars and doing service for the whole community. And a lot of the community doesn't even know what they go through.
And Cheryl, give us a little bit of your background. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, okay. And what brought you out to lovely California?
Well, I was a dancer in New York and an actress to a certain extent, and a waitress. And
usually that goes along hand in hand.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
and they're pretty equal, at least in my life. And, you know, I loved living in New York, loved it. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. But at 27, I started to feel like all I knew was Manhattan. You know, I didn't even have a car. I just didn't know what my next step was. And I'm one of those people that sort of leap into things. So I decided to try my hand in L.A. And I didn't really, I think I did one movie of the week, but I did a lot of commercials and voiceovers out there. But I also started supplementing my income and paying rent by teaching Pilates, because a lot of dancers, professional dancers, do Pilates. So I ended up teaching Pilates in Los Angeles since 1987.
So a performer, dancer in New York, Pilates in L.A., how does that get you involved in a military-based nonprofit in Joshua Tree? When did that leap happen?
I don't know. I read that book. I I read that book and I was really taken, and I brought Dr. Ed Tick out to the community, to Joshua Tree, for a book reading, and he said, if you want to help your veterans, form a community group. So one of the things I had been doing was a show called Desert Stories at the High Desert Playhouse, basically because I wrote a story about my house burning down up in Burns Canyon in 2006 in the Sawtooth Fires. So being the performer, I wanted to do a spoken word event, and anyway, that catapulted into many years of doing that show, which is, as you know, called Live from Joshua Tree, since you were in it.
I was.
And I had a mailing list, so I just put something out in 2012 and said, hey, does anybody want to help me start like some kind of community group to bring veterans into community creatively, since we have so many artists out here of all kinds, musicians, visual artists, now we have dancers, we have theater, you know, and that's how Miltree
and we have lots of veterans.
To say the least. So we all met at that time. It was the Red Arrow Gallery. It's now the Beatnik Cafe. And we started talking, and we just kept dialoguing. A Marine veteran said, why don't we call it Miltree, Military Joshua Tree? And I think I've said this before, but at one point we were laughing. We wanted to call it Miltree Huggers. But that didn't fly. So we got it down to Miltree Veteran Project. And that's how it all began. And it really was a few people sitting around trying to figure out what that meant.
Well, I know how complex it is to create and maintain a nonprofit. So there was a lot of work that was put into that process.
Yeah, a lot of stumbling around, too. But actually, Pat's wife, Danielle Giudice Wallace, contacted me, I don't know, 2014?
2015.
Well, we're going to get to know Patrick in just a minute.
Oh, no, but
it'll be his turn in the box.
Well, all I was going to say is that there were grants through the California Art Council, and she was the head of Arts Connection San Bernardino. And Danielle is responsible for putting Miltree on the map, in a sense, because she said, why don't we partner and do a project together, you know, through Arts Connection and Miltree? And that's when we started to receive more money and able to do more detailed projects and programming.
Okay, I'm going to talk about some of the project in front of you, but first let's meet Patrick Wallace. Patrick, welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be here.
And you get the same treatment.
All right.
Tell us about Patrick Wallace. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New Orleans, born in New Orleans, Louisiana. My mom's family had been there.
One of my favorite cities. Just got to say, I love the character of that city. It's remarkable.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And what brought you from New Orleans to California?
Well, the military. You know, from New Orleans, I went to grade school, middle school, high school in Alabama, and then wound up going back to college at Tulane University, studied architecture, got my master's there, but I was in ROTC at the same time, so was commissioned as a second lieutenant in 1998, and then wound up in Germany, right outside of Frankfurt in Hanau at Pionera Kaserne, which is like a little base camp there. And then I wound up leaving active duty at the end of 2001, right after 9/11. I was technically on what they call terminal leave at that time, so I had put in the rest of my leave time before 9/11, and I was actually in the middle of the Atlantic with my wife on the QE2 headed back to the U.S. When that happened. So we were headed to Manhattan, but the point is that she lived in the Bay Area at the time. And I had only brought her over for the last few months of my active duty time. And I figured if I want to stay married, I should probably move into her place. So that's how I wound up in California. And then came down here.
I was going to say, how'd you make the jump from San Francisco to Joshua Tree?
Yeah. Well, I work at a mapping company called Esri. It was our CEO, Jack Dangerman, founded it in like 1969. And he's from Redlands, California, and he wanted to start his company there. He wanted to make a difference in his community, and he kept the company there. So it's literally the world's leading software company for location technology, but it's based in Little Redlands. So,
and when you separated from the military, what rank were you at?
I was first lieutenant promotable, and I got my captain promotion in the mail after 9/11. Okay. So I guess technically I was a captain.
And that was in the Army?
Army, yeah. I was an Army engineer officer.
Yeah. Yep. So now you find yourself surrounded by Marines.
Yes. It's okay. I can deal with it.
So. Well, I'm sure the shared experience amongst veterans supersedes the branch of service. I mean, we're still doing service. So.
I tell folks it's like this strange club that you can't get out of. You know, you see each other around, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, we're still here.
Yeah. Well, so. Twenty-nine Palms has a lot of retired military because the property prices are relatively low, mm-hmm. but you have access to the commissary and the Naval Hospital Board, the base. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people who have retired from other branches of the military and then came up here to live with their families because of those advantages.
That's right. I was just talking to my wife about it last week, right? Just looking at our retirement plans, thinking, you know, coming out here, like living full-time out here would be a pretty smart move for us.
Are you still working in the mapping business?
I am, yeah. I got into it because I was a topo platoon leader in the Army, and this is during the Kosovo War, and we were supporting that full-time. We were like running 24/7 mapping missions to support that operation. And I just kind of fell in love with the tech.
So an architect who started mapping in the Army.
I know, yeah, it's kind of weird. But I grew up as a technologist. My dad was a ham radio operator in his spare time. He's an electrical engineer. And I just remember helping him, like, build these Heathkit radios as a kid. And I first got involved with computers, like, with a Commodore 64, because he was trying to program it to rotate the antenna tower, right? And so I just...
I have the TRS-80.
Okay. Yeah. So I love it. I was never really afraid of getting my hands dirty with tech or with code just because of those early experiences.
I'm a huge supporter of hams.
Yeah.
I remember after the earthquake, we had a ham operator here in the lobby of the radio station and a ham operator in the lobby of the sheriff's department because there was no communication.
That's right.
And we were doing dispatching over the air over a commercial FM of sheriff and fire departments through the hams. So comes a big catastrophe. Those are the guys you can count on. So I'm a huge supporter of the hams. Did you take it from your dad? Did you get into hams or just like to work on the stuff?
Yeah, I got into other stuff. I got into like software development. So I wound up kind of taking that love of. I'll just put it this way. My wife found this record, and it was for ham radio operators. It was about Morse code. And it's just called learning code. I just wound up applying it differently, right? So I'm using it to help develop mapping technology.
That is great. Well, now that we know who you are, we're going to talk about more of what you're doing. We're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Up Close Show. I'm Gary Dignot. Our producer is Michelle Alley. And if you'd like to call and talk with Cheryl and Patrick, our number is 760-366-8471. Cheryl Montell is the executive director, and Patrick Wallace, the president of the board of MilTree. And we're going to talk about the retreat they've got coming up next month. We'll be right back. Talk about that in just a few momentitos. Don't go away.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, all children ages 6 months and older should be vaccinated for the flu. Younger children are at high risk of developing serious flu-related complications such as pneumonia and dehydration. The most effective way to protect your child against the flu is to get a vaccine. Call the Morongo Basin Community Health Center today to schedule an appointment. 760-365-9305. Morongo Basin Community Health Center, a program of Morongo Basin Health Care District.
It is 10:21. I'm Gary Dignot. We're back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. Our guest in studio today, Cheryl Montell, the executive director, and Patrick Wallace, the president of MilTree, which is an organization which was founded by Cheryl after she saw a need for that. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the programs you do. But first, the reason you're here is we have a program coming up. And it's something called Weaving Our Stories, The Path Home, and it's a retreat for veterans. What exactly does that mean? What is the experience? Do I get Patrick or Cheryl or both on that one?
I can start.
Yeah.
So like weaving our path home is part of a larger program, a grant that we were awarded from the California Arts Council Creative Corps. And this particular part, it's happening January 12th through 14th, and the idea is to connect veterans with community members and in our creative team for the overall program in order to tell their personal stories of, you know, how do they get to be where they are, their military experience, your experience in the community, and then, you know, have the creative team kind of bear witness to all that. Of course, guided the whole time by community elders, culture bearers, as they're known in the nonprofit world. And the idea is to surface shared values, a shared vision for the future between our vets, between our community. The idea is to aid this community reintegration, to be able to cut through this isolation that veterans are experiencing in the community, in the world, and the general isolation and loneliness that we're experiencing as Americans. You know, the Surgeon General this year released a report. Half of adult Americans are suffering from isolation and loneliness, which leads to 30% higher mortality rates. So that's why Cheryl was saying we started to realize it's just not just a vet issue, but it's a community issue. And the goal coming out of that retreat with the creative team is essentially to have a narrative scaffold, if you will, that we can use for this community performance that we're putting on in May. And those are like the bookends to a series of workshops and as well as rehearsals to get us there. And these will all involve the creative team, our vets, and community working together for this shared purpose.
Well, tell me about the creative team. Are they artists, performers, musicians? What is the creative team, and how do they connect with veterans?
Right. Well, we have a position called the artistic director, that person is Christian Camargo, who is a producer and director and actor of high acclaim, really talented person. And in the theater, as you know, Gary, when you work together, and one of our goals is to find out what we have in common, and we create this certain synergy by working together and creating this sort of bubble of creativity. So Christian will lead as artistic director. He will also lead an acting workshop. We have Gabriel Hart, who you know very well, who is going to take whatever stories and experiences come out of the veteran retreat and weave them together in some kind of performative assemblage. And we have Barbara Koch, who is a choreographer, who has worked in the community, you know, different communities, and we have...
Bobby's helping out with the percussion sound wall that we're building.
Right. Bobby First from First World, Tyler Soraka, who is a drummer. So we've gathered different creatives from the community, because this grant, it's about this community or the Inland Empire. So they have to come from this community. And so after the retreat, we have four culture bearers. Two are Native Americans, Kim Marcus being one, who is a Serrano Cuya. He's in both those tribes. We do have Dolores Mondragon. She is from the Chickawa tribe. We have Miguel Rivera, who is a social activist, has worked with veterans, gang members, you name it, prisoners. And we have a mythologist named Ben Dennis.
A veteran and...
first responder.
And a first fireman. Responder as well.
Yeah.
So Pac, you get someone who just recently separated from the military, maybe had some bad experiences, aren't real social, they're kind of lonely. How do you get that person to embrace this type of program? I mean, the normal person who just came out of the military, hey, you want to be in a program and work with artists and dancers, yeah. Yeah. And they're going to look like you just dropped out of the sky.
I totally agree with you.
How do you make that attractive? How do you break that down? How do you get the veterans to take advantage of the program?
That's right. Well, I mean, this is one of those aspects, being here today with you, but it's about building a rapport, a personal rapport. We're not going to jump in the deep end together from the first get-go, right? Like, you know, I'm a vet, and I know we're a little cagey and a little circumspect about things, and we're not going to open up, you know, right away. They got to trust you, and trust is built, you know, one connection, one meeting, one endeavor at the time. And when I can trust you, and I know that you're on my side, you're on my team, and we're walking down the same path, we can do all kinds of crazy stuff together, because hell, I know it. We did crazy stuff together when we were active duty.
So one of the things that we did is we went to the VFW, we went to the DAV. Mm-hmm. We also, at Ground Squirrel, Mike Usher's restaurant, who he's a veteran as well, we had a Get to Know Miltree event in November where we put it out to the mailing list, and we had a great response. Veterans and community members came out alike, and we explained a little bit about what we were going to do. You know, so it's kind of my motto for 11 years has been one veteran at a time. If I can gain the trust of one veteran, you know, then maybe I can for the next one and the next one. Well,
that's a pretty good leap, though, going from learning to trust you, what is this about, to a performance where you're dancing and singing.
Well, that's right. Cheryl talked about this creative bubble. I think about as creating a world together, right? Mm-hmm. If we can... Even just through us meeting today, like we're starting to kind of align our expectations or what we think we know about each other, just based on the chit-chat we had before coming in. All of that's meaningful in terms of establishing a rapport and a relationship, right? And so when we realize that we do have these connections between each other, we can start envisioning a shared future together. And we're only saying, what does this community need? What do we need as connected members in this community, constituents in this community? And our only goal is to establish shared projects, creative endeavors that march us towards that end. And I've been thinking more and more lately that you know, these shared visions that we hold, I mean, this has been the traditional role of myth, right? You have the world as it is right here.
What is myth?
Myths are essentially shared fictions, if you will.
Oh, myths. Okay,
myths.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You still got a little Louisiana left in there, Patrick.
Oh, yeah. It makes me sound like a surfer, I hear. So.
Dude.
Yeah, dude. So anyway, so a shared myth, right? A shared framework and understanding of the world. And that's kind of what we're trying to get out of the retreat, right? Like, we need a new myth, because clearly... the narrative we have of the world now isn't really working for a lot of folks. So so as long as we're working together towards this shared purpose, every step toward that is meaningful, full of meaning. And I'm not saying we're providing the meaning of life, but we can help provide meaning in life if we work together.
It's an exploration. So starting with the veteran retreat, there will be dialogue. There will be shared myths,
shared personal stories.
You know. So, and there will also be some ritual. You know, some drumming. I think we're making rattles out of gourds.
Right. I'm collecting California
fan palm
seeds near my house right now.
I got a bunch at my house if you want.
We're coming over.
Yeah,
because Kim Marcus, we're going to make rattles together. I mean, when you focus on the things that we have in common versus what we don't have in common, you know, that's when trust can be built. So when you do projects together, like I said, the theater is a perfect example of the synergy that you create. When you start to break down the barriers and the defense system, then we can really find what we have in common. And I have seen it over and over. In 11 years, we have broken down those barriers, you know, and found commonality.
And I'm not saying that's a negative connotation, but I like to think about it from the flip side, right? Like, we could think about it as a barrier, but it's only a barrier to you in terms of connecting with others. Right?
That's all I meant.
Yeah, exactly.
It, you know, at least in my life, I mean, I'm not going to say about others, but trust is really important, yep. You know, and you have to, I mean, you have to feel comfortable enough to open up and be who you are. You know, so we're trying to create safe spaces for whoever comes to this retreat, whether they're a veteran, a family member of a military person, or a concerned community member, you know.
Now, this retreat is coming up January 12th through the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wants to find out more. Maybe somebody who's listening thinks there's a family member or or a spouse who this may be valuable for. How do they find out more and how do they sign up?
Two ways. You can go right to miltree.org, and I'm going to spell it for you, folks, because there's a dash. It's mil-tree.org. If you go to the website, scroll down, and you'll see something that says Tapestries of Transformation, Learn More. Click that, and it will tell you about the facilitators and the creatives that are leading this project.
Yep.
What is the relationship between Miltree.org and the 29 Palms Marine Corps Base? Are they supportive of you, or do you work with them?
We have worked with them, but it's important to note that the Marine Base has a mission. Their mission is to train.
Yeah, they're a training base, yeah.
Yeah, a training base where men and women are going to go out there and protect our country. So they have a focus that's very different than when a military person comes out of that, you know, active duty to come back into society. So yes, we have partnered with them. We've done yoga there. The single Marines have come out and helped us many, many times.
We've had board members that spouses of folks that are active duty.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just constantly trying to stay connected. We're constantly up and down the Morongo Basin corridor, attending community events, and you know, that include folks from the base.
From
as
the
well.
Base, yeah.
So we're always trying to look for opportunities to collaborate and
when it's appropriate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Patrick, both you and Cheryl mentioned the isolation a veteran feels when they go out to the civilian world. What is the cause of that? Is that societal isolation, or is it the military person's readjustment to civilian life? Let's do a little deep on what causes that isolation.
Right. Well, let's start with some stats, right? So here in the Morongo Basin, we have a very high percentage of veterans as compared to San Bernardino County at large or even the U.S. at large. So 11% of folks out here are vets as compared to 4% in the county. I think that it's equal to about 8,000 folks that are veterans out here. So you probably already knew, hey, there's a lot of military folks, a lot of vets. Well, there are. Half of those veterans are below the age of 55. So just to kind of set expectations about who these veterans are. Also, you know, veterans experience 3 times more PTSD than you find in the general population. And then we already talked about the isolation that Americans are experiencing generally. So these things compound on top of each other. So, like your question, how did we get here? There's a couple means. One is service-related trauma through active duty in a war zone, for example, or maybe they had a horrific experience, not even in a war zone, right? Maybe they were assaulted while active duty. You name it, I've seen it, and it exists, right? So maybe there was trauma that way. There's another avenue that this happens, like where you have a lot of members who, for the first time in their lives, they see a way for us to engage for a shared purpose, to do something that's bigger than ourselves, right? And so the first time in their lives, they've seen a way that our society can actually function in a, I'm looking for the right term, and not perfect, but, you know, one that's in harmony and of common purpose, that provides purpose and meaning for them. And then they leave and they lose that close-knit community, and they experience profound loss. And so veterans coming out,
Because the other veterans they're serving with have become their family.
They become their family.
And in many cases, you know, closer than family. We always hear the expression band of brothers, but that is true.
It's very true. And then, like Cheryl said, like in our society, for whatever reason, we've lost some of the wisdom of the ancients, as it were. And what I mean is that in those societies, they understood what was being built in terms of military service and service of their nation. And there wasn't just an indoctrination to get in to fight and protect their nation, but there was a similar process to get them out, right? So they understood like what it takes to get in. They understood the extreme pressures that they experienced being in serving their country. And then they're not just dumped immediately back into the world, as it were, right? There were typically rituals that, that they went through before being reintroduced into society.
In some indigenous cultures, they would be separated at first, and the crones or the older women would help to get the war out of them, we don't have ritual around really.
We have ritual about going into the service.
Yes, but
well, when you're done, see you later.
I don't want to leave our listeners with the impression of some like crazy, midnight ritual.
No.
Yeah.
But when you do your initial training, that is a type of ritual. You can all talk about it. You all go through the same thing at the same time.
It's a shared experience.
It's a shared experience, yeah. Right?
Is the isolation you talk about perceived or real?
It winds up being both, right? You see people in our world who, I guess you could think of the picture of somebody standing in a crowd of people staring at their phone, right? They're both isolated, but surrounded by people at the same time. They're not able to actually connect. That's kind of like an interesting visual for what we're talking about. Now, while
actually it makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So veterans come out and they have this world of experience and they just can't. It's hard for folks to relate, right? If you haven't been through that experience, through the rituals and the experiences that they went through, it's really hard to fully understand.
But that's why bearing witness as community members is so important. And I don't know, I'm not an expert, but there aren't a whole lot of opportunities to do that. As far as I know, I'm not saying they're not there, but there are pockets of people, doing things like Miltree is doing to try to
in an authentic way where you're not trying to get something out of somebody, right? Like we want to in an honest way, we want to get to understand you, we want to get to know you because we want to build something great together.
People in the civilian community sometimes don't know how to express themselves to a veteran. It comes down to thank you for your service,
right.
which is a gesture of respect.
That's right.
But how does that military person react to that? Is that, they're just saying that, or
different ways?
Yeah. Different ways for different folks. I mean, I can only tell you about my own experience. Like, okay, cool, I got a 10% discount at Lowe's or Home Depot. Well, I'm not going to turn it down, but it's like, I appreciate it. What I'd appreciate more.
I was going to say, what can the civilian community help to break that isolation to be part of the team?
Yeah, I get engaged like this. Mm-hmm. Get engaged with the veterans in your community. There's always some service organization out there that allows that to happen. It shows that you're willing to, move forward and build your community together rather than,
them and us kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, here's the discount, right?
So I appreciate and respect the job the veteran has done for me and my country. How do I project that in a real way.
That's right.
You participate in Miltree.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it.
But there are other organizations that are doing just that. Dr. Ed Tick, for a long time, had Soldier's Heart. That was his nonprofit. And as you may know, and many of you out there might know, keeping a nonprofit going is difficult. So they come and go. I have no idea how Miltree has lasted 11 years, but we have. And I think it's because those that are participating really care. So it's you have to find those avenues where you can work together.
Yeah, I'd say it's a service orientation, right? Like the way that you could honor our service is for you to serve. You don't need to serve active duty. Maybe it would be an impossibility for you to do that, right? Maybe you're past the cutoff. Maybe you're 42 and you're past the age of 39. I would just say honor that service orientation by serving your community. There are plenty of ways to do that. Go help out, volunteer with the city, understand what it takes to run your community. Volunteer with the fire department or the police department or in your schools. The point is, do something. Don't just be alone at home.
But the great thing is about something like Miltree is that we offer free events and free programming. So it doesn't, at least in Miltree, it doesn't cost anything normally to participate.
So the networking with other veterans is actually part of the process of Miltree.
That's right.
Okay. On that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Danielle, your host. Our producer is Michelle Alley. Our guest in the studio today is Cheryl Montell, the executive director, and Patrick Wallace, the president of Miltree. We'll talk more about that and an upcoming event right after these brief messages.
Treat your taste buds to the King's Hawaiian Pork and Slaw Sandwich, back for a limited time at Firehouse Subs. Slow-smoked pulled pork, melted pepper jack cheese, and sweet and tangy slaw on a toasted King's Hawaiian roll. Make it a meal by pairing it with their new Tropical Cherry Limeade, a blend of pineapple and cherry with a squeeze of fresh lime. At Firehouse Subs, a portion of every purchase helps provide much-needed life-saving equipment to first responders across the country. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. In the Home Depot Center, Yucca Valley.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
This is Cody Joseph from The Morning Show with Cody and Jeff. Sue's Health Foods is a regular stop for me. I can get staples there that I can't find at the grocery store. Everything from booch to nooch, as Jeff likes to say. Cashews in bulk, miso paste, local honey, and sweet treats for my kids. They really like the fruit chews from the bulk bins. The bulk bins are probably our favorite part of the store, and the employees are always so friendly and helpful. We couldn't make half the recipes we love without the ingredients we get from Sue's. My family has been shopping there for years, and the quality and care we have gotten has always been top-notch. I love going there, and I love supporting a local business that has given so much to our community for so many years.
Sue's Health Food.
It is 10:44. I'm Gary Dignot, and we are the Z1077 Up Close Show. My guests in studio today is Cheryl Montell, the executive director, and Patrick Wallace, the president of Miltree. We're going to talk about what Miltree is, what they do, and we just had a great back and forth about how do we in the civilian community show our respect and appreciation for our veterans. And Patrick said, get involved in your community. You may be surprised by that. So yeah. I'm going to come back to what we've got coming up, which is the Weaving Our Stories Path Home Retreat for Veterans. First, I'm going to jump ahead. You're busy in January, Cheryl, because you have another event coming up. That's Live from Joshua Tree, which is a very, very unique event. What started it? I know you started at the Playhouse in Joshua Tree. Now you've graduated to the Joshua Tree Retreat Center. What is the process by which you put that together, and what is it?
Oh, well, Live from Joshua Tree is a really fun event. It's a spoken word fundraiser, and there's also music. So I have always loved doing spoken word events, and like you said, I started this years ago as Desert Stories at the High Desert Playhouse. But once I formed Miltree, it was time to raise money for Miltree. And so I moved it to the Retreat Center under a new name. And basically, I choose sort of randomly, but with some thought, 10 participants. They do not have to be writers. They do not have to be performers. Some are, some aren't. And but everybody has a story. Everybody. So the theme is desert. So each story will reflect one way or another something about the desert. And it doesn't have to be the high desert. It can be any desert. So we keep it kind of broad that way. So this year we have...
and it's called Live from Joshua
Tree. Live from Joshua Tree. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I have 10 different performers, and I'm don't quiz me because 10 people right now I might forget. So I love them all. And basically, if you want to find out who's performing, please go to livefromjoshuatree.com. We also have wonderful sponsors. Z107 is our media sponsor, and along with a couple others. And we have wonderful sponsors throughout the community.
You can mention your other sponsors.
Oh, well, High Desert.
It's okay.
Okay. High Desert Star.
Yeah, we work really well with the High Desert
and,
Star. No, it's not a problem.
And the voice, Joshua Tree Voice.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's it for the media sponsors.
For the media sponsors, yeah.
But we have several. Grocery Outlet. We have Center for Health.
Cheryl's going, oh, no, I can't forget.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I love all these sponsors, and they're going to be very well represented on the website and in the program.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so we do have wonderful sponsorship. It sells out every year, so if you're considering coming, just jump in and buy your ticket. Yeah.
So, Live from Joshua Tree, when you say a spoken word, let me, for people who aren't aware of that, these 10 people who have a story to tell, everybody has one, they tell their stories, and they go up on stage with a microphone. Some of them are musicians, and they sing their stories. Some of them are dancers, and they dance their
stories. So far we haven't had, the only one dancing up there at this point is me, because...
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
I just have
part
fun.
That's part of your story.
Yeah, that's part of my story. That's right. You know, if we ever get a dancer up there, hallelujah, that would be fantastic. But at this point, we have a couple of musicians, and then we have different people from the community telling their
story. Well, I have attended a couple of events once as a participant, and it is fascinating, highly entertaining. And if you really want to find out more about people than what you may just see. It is a fascinating experience.
And again, it creates a certain synergy. And I just want to say we have a DJ, we have food, we have a no-host bar. If you're hungry before it starts, we'll have a taco stand out front for you to buy a taco. It's about a two-hour and 20-minute show with the intermission. So, you know, be prepared to...
So livefromjoshuatree.com, and that'll get you in.
Yeah, thanks.
Great. Now, Cheryl, Cheryl's also a Pilates teacher.
Yeah.
There's a class starting in 10 minutes in downtown Joshua Tree.
I just...
So we're going to dismiss you.
Yes.
Yes.
It's called Joshua Tree Pilates, and it's right downtown, and I have to go teach an 11 o'clock client,
okay.
So I have to go. But thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Gary and Patrick. Take it away.
Yeah. All right.
Well, as we get closer to Live from Joshua Tree, Cheryl, we'll see if the morning show guys will have you come in and talk a little bit more about that. But thank you very much for coming in. And now Cheryl
thank
is
you.
Off to the Pilates studio. So, Patrick, you talked about how you reach the veterans. We talked about how we respect their service. When does the breakthrough happen? When someone who just got out of the service doesn't quite know what to do with themselves, they find themselves in the social isolation you found about, and they come to Miltree. When is the breakthrough? How does that work? Do you see a light come on? Is there an aha moment?
I have a good example of that, and I guess all of these are a bit personal. Maybe this one was more so. We started out with something as simple as a community cookout, and we had this, I believe, last August, and I think we had like 40 vets come out, and
Well, that's a great attendance.
Yeah. It was great. I think we had like 80 folks all together, and then we had a band playing, and you know, it was just a cool kind of quintessential, you know, Joshua Tree type of venue and experience, and what was neat, I mean, I cooked a ton of jambalaya, right? So I like used my mom's recipe, and
ooh,
I mean, I had like 10 or 12 gallons worth of, I mean, normally you don't measure jambalaya in gallons, but I cooked a hell of a lot of it. And I don't know, just you have these stories that come out, you know, like just serving food. Like, again, getting involved in service, you have these interactions, and you're having these, you start off with small conversations with vets and who maybe have lived in your part of the world or were stationed at, let's say, Fort Polk, Louisiana, and they hadn't had that type of food in a long time. And so you just start building this rapport. And I don't know, it was a fun time, but I still hear about this like over a year later, right? Like, you know, vets will come up to me at other community events and they want to talk about jambalaya or the cookout. And the point being that we established a connection, we established a rapport, and I don't think about it transactionally like that in my head, just in terms of answering your question, right? Like, you have to, that's the first barrier, that's the first breakthrough.
Or just getting them to attend a public event sometimes can be a huge barrier.
Well, that's a great, yeah, exactly, and that's a good point. Like, if you start with something that's as simple as a community cookout, mixer, icebreaker, like we had at
Ground, there's no pressure to perform.
There's no pressure to. Yeah. I think you told me, I think it was at the Yucca Valley Health Fair or something, and I was talking to you about this at our booth, and like, what are we going to name this retreat? And I think you said, why don't you call it Spill Your Guts? And I'm like, well, we probably don't want to start there. What we want to get across is that you don't start with, you know, super deep stuff. That's up to the participant, and that's up to their trust with you, right? And to establish trust is to establish a relationship. And as humans, we understand how that works.
And one of the ways that you do that is these retreats. And we're going to do a little deep dive into how this retreat works and what's going to happen. But first, got to pay a little bit more rent. We'll be right back with the Z1077 Up Close Show.
A trip to the pharmacy should be easy. That's why so many people choose a local community pharmacy instead of a big chain, like Star Pharmacy in Joshua Tree. It's easy to get in and get out with your medications, and they offer one-on-one health-related advice. They get to know their customers and can help manage medications and check for any interactions. Star Pharmacy offers a wide range of over-the-counter supplements, plus durable medical equipment like walkers and wheelchairs. Star Pharmacy, Holly Road, across from the post office, Joshua Tree.
It is 10:55. We're gonna start winding down the Z1077 Up Close Show today. Patrick Wallace is the president of Miltree. We've been talking about that. Now, the reason you guys came on was to talk about this event that you have coming up next month.
Yep.
It's called Tapestries of Transformation, a multifaceted offering. Take me through the experience. What is going to happen to me there? This may help me, if I'm a veteran, decide whether I want to participate or not. We talked a lot about the spill in our guts and the breakthrough and all that kind of stuff. But this is a process. Explain the process of this event, which is coming up, Tapestries of Transformation.
Yep, Tapestries is the larger program. We started it, I guess, last month. It ends in May, and one of the events is this retreat, and it's called Weaving Our Path Home, January 12th through 14th. So it's in the evening, January 12th. I'm going to walk through the timeline. It's Saturday, like 9 through 5, or 9 through 6, I believe, Sunday 9 through 6.
That's pretty intense, two full long days.
Yeah. So two days together. So at a minimum, you're going to meet a lot of folks. I think right now we have 20 folks signed up.
Oh, great.
About 60% are veterans. That's great, right? We talked about the community representation of vets here earlier. So just generally, it's a 10 or 11%. So having that high percentage of vets sign up is a great sign for us. So what's going to happen? Well, clearly we're gonna meet and greet with each other. We're going to share meals with each other. We're going to be guided by these culture bearers through the process. And what is that process? So we're going to start by the telling of myth, right? So we're going to hear about some of the Serrana Cahuilla creation stories that they hold dear. And from there, we're going to be able to segue to the telling of our own personal stories. And that's up to the participants to tell whatever stories they want to tell. It doesn't have to be about some crazy experience that they had in the military.
How their lives mirror some of these myths of the Native Americans.
Yeah, we don't even need to worry. The plan is not for the participants to even have to worry about that during the retreat, right? The point is to get to see each other as humans. And that's kind of a weird statement saying it out loud, but to me, when I say that, what do I think about? I think about back to my military time. Like one of the things coming out of service to our country was being able to meet people from around the world, right? And understanding as a kid who wound up growing up, leaving Louisiana and growing up in Alabama, that like showing folks that, hey, I'm not a bad dude. You know, this is what I believe. This is what I do. And hey, I turn out to be a lot like you, right? And I believe that a lot of what happens at an event like that is that this kind of fundamental level setting between us as participants and as members of our community.
All right. Again, if you want to find out more or sign up, go to mil-tree. That's mil-tree.org, and you get all the information right there. Patrick, thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
You,
and we'll thank Cheryl, too, who had to run off. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for coming out here, and I look forward to more live from Joshua Tree and more great service from Mill Tree to our community.
All right. Yes, indeed. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week. Join me next week for more Up Close. Until then, thanks for listening. Drive carefully, and God bless. Bye-bye.